It's Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
They like jet airplanes. Woo! They like long limousines. They like fine clothes.
On AM 930 WEOL.
After 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you until 6 o'clock tonight. You've got Cleveland Indians baseball coming your way a little bit later on. Tribe taking on the White Sox in the Windy City on the south side. It begins tonight with Indians warm-up at 7:37, and they'll deliver that first pitch just after 8 o'clock. Well, a couple of weeks from now, at Lorain County Community College's Stocker Arts Center, you can hear our very next guest. He's in studio with us right now. Jeff Varga is joining us. Jeff, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you in. And, boy, we were talking off air, sharing some stories. And, boy, I tell you what, I was reading up on you earlier. You are a very well-traveled individual, my friend. Holy cow, you've been all over the place. And, you know, I've got to ask these questions. I know some of the folks that listen, you know, they'll hear me say something. Things and think, man, is this guy young? This guy hasn't been around long enough. He doesn't know some of these stories. But, you know, I've heard of the urban cowboy movement. Now, I don't know a whole lot about it. I know a little bit, but not a ton. So you got involved in music well over 40 years ago, and you were a part of the urban cowboy movement. How did that change things for you in the music industry?
Well, I tell you, I moved to New York City. And that was when urban cowboy was, that was a big, huge movie. And what they did is they started bringing up guys from, like, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and all of a sudden they've come into the city, and, you know, I was going to school there. I was going to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I was going to be a Broadway star back then. My first love is music, though, so I started playing and backing up some of these artists that were coming up from the South. And then before we knew it, the English... the guys in England loved country music. So an agent came into town, started booking bands in England and, oddly enough, Scandinavia, like in Norway. And as a matter of fact, the first time the agent called up and says, hey, you want to go to Oslo? And I was like, Michigan? You know, cause I've heard of Holland, Michigan. I said, I had no clue. And he said, no, the country. And I'm like, well, yeah, how much does it pay, you know? Cause, and we toured. We toured over there with some guys, and then we had our own band. And then they wanted to do a spin-off sitcom, kind of like a... Remember the Monkees?
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, they wanted to do a urban cowboy kind of Monkees thing. They have these guys from all over the country living together in a loft in New York City, making it as country musicians. And... so they got five of us together. We put a band together. They sent us on tour for 3 months. I said, no, you get your sound together. You know, maybe work up some songs. We'll have some writers for you and all that kind of stuff. When you get back, that's okay. But we did all these old, you know, bluegrass tunes and country tunes, old fiddle tunes, all that stuff. Put the whole thing together. And just before we were getting ready to come back home, they said, oh, yeah, they scrapped the project. So, as a matter of fact, the fiddle player that played with us, his name is Bill Booth. He was originally from Portland, Maine. He's been over in Denmark and Sweden since then, which that had to be 82, and he's over there now. He's like a big country western star over there, and he's still there. Where the drummer went, David Kolb, I do not know. John Zeman, a guitar player I worked with, he plays the keys and he plays the blues in Boston area. You know, so everybody kind of scattered when the project fell apart. And so that was the urban cowboy thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and you told me earlier that, you know, you're from this area, but right. You mentioned you kind of grew up, in your words, you grew up in New York, and you still frequently visit New York. So what are the major differences? I mean, you mentioned you grew up there, but you still call Cleveland home or the Cleveland area home.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was born here in Cleveland, born and raised. I mean, I met my lovely, beautiful bride of 34 years here. You know, New York's it's a different animal. You know, it's such a melting pot. You know, I have a surrogate family up there, and my old man always says, he goes, we walk down the street together, and he'll go, you know, New York City works. He goes, I don't know how it works, but it works. And I thought, yeah, that's true, because it is such a, if you go there, I mean, it's crazy. Well, like with Cleveland, it's a melting pot as well, but there's like I said, there's so much you can do here right at your fingertips. Where in the city, you're in the city. I mean, you're just, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's the city. But in this area, you can go 20 minutes, like I said, either direction, and you're in something different. You know, you're in a rural area, you're downtown Cleveland, you're at the lake, you're, you know, it just, there's so many things to do, you know. So, I mean, to answer the question, long-winded, I love both places. It's affordable here. It's wonderful to be here. I think there's so many things you can do here. I've been able to make a living as a musician here. New York, it's tough, but there's so much there, too. You know, so, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I don't know. I love them both. I do. I really do.
Jeff, you mentioned when you moved to New York City, you were out there kind of looking at getting into the whole Broadway thing. What made you decide to eventually leave that acting aspect and just go straight with the music?
Well, what happened with that was I got my very first gig in Cleveland when I was 16 years old.
16?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And my dad had to come and sign like a release form that I wouldn't drink, you know, or anything like that. I think drink. I was so high from just getting to play on stage. But to be honest, I went to the academy because it was a lot easier than having to go through college. You know, I mean, I didn't really want to go to college. You know, I went to Pace University for a little while, but the academy was like a training ground on so many different levels for not only for acting, but you know, I used to get up on stage and go, "Hi, I'm Jeff. Here's a song by the Beatles." And I'd play the song, you know. And then I'd say, "Thank you. Here's a song by Jim Croce." And I'd play the song. And then I'd change it up. I'd play the song and say, "That was a song by the Beatles." You know, I mean, so I had the stage presence of, like, this piece of paper in front of me, you know. And so I thought, well, you know, I did some acting in high school. I was in some plays in high school and stuff. So, and I enjoyed that. That was fun. And I thought, well, maybe if that works out, you know, I could do that and then parlay it into, you know, maybe do musicals and stuff like that. So it slowly became, like I said, I got in with these guys from the country western thing, and just started playing out more and more and more and more, and that just became the whole thing.
So was the goal ultimately always music, then acting was just kind of the side thing?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that confidence just kind of manifests itself, right? And you just get that stage presence over time. You know, we tell people radio is a lot of the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just kind of learn over time how to get comfortable in certain situations. And I don't think people totally understand how tough that can be because, you know, when you're up on stage, all eyes are on you. It takes some time to get used to that.
Yeah, it depends on the gig. It depends on the night. I think what gives you more of something that you get better with is how to deal with those that aren't looking at you. You know, so you say to yourself, okay, how do I get them to pay attention to me?
Who's the idiot at the jukebox? Yeah, Why is he listening to me, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Get them to go, oh, what did he do different? Oh, wow, I know that song. I mean, we get compliments all the time like this. It's like, hey, that was a great version of that song. It's not how it's done, but it's a great version. I was like, well, if you want to listen to the original version, you can go home and put that on YouTube or whatever you want. But when we play it, you know, we do it kind of like our way. You know, so why duplicate something that's already been done? We'd like to have people, you know, perk up and go, hey, that's that song I know, but they're doing it really just, they're putting their signature on it. And that's why I do, even in my solo act, there are so many songs I play that I figure you've heard this song a million times. Because I mix up, when I'm playing club dates, a lot of them are, you know, I'm doing originals and covers. And I figure, well, if I'm going to do a cover song, I should do it like Jeff does it, because that's who's playing. I mean, if you want to hear Paul McCartney do Yesterday, then yeah, you can hear him do it. You know, that's no problem. But when I do it, I gotta throw in my, as my piano player once said, the Varga-isms. You know, you know, and that's sometimes a good thing or a bad thing, depending on if you're playing with me or not. So, but yeah, I mean, so yeah, I think it just kind of gets you ready for being ready for stuff.
That's interesting. Do you ever hear a song that you think would just be better with a bluegrassy tone or something a little different?
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because someone asked me to learn a song for them. It was a private party. And I had never heard the song before. I put it on. And I said, now how can I wrap my head around this and make this, you know, something I can do?
Sure.
Because a lot of times when I first hear a song, I'll want to try and do it exactly like whoever did it. And then I realized, well, see, I'm not that guy, you know. So I take it and play with it and put it in the key that works for me, and just kind of develop it. And sometimes it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be like I'll play it out the first time. I'll go, oh, yeah, I'm pretty confident with it. I'll go play it. I play it and I go, oh, man, you know, that was subpar, you know. I mean, and then so you go back to the drawing board. You know, and people ask me what my day job is. I said my day job is learning new material and also finding the next gig, you know, and that's what I do. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting to take a song, make it your own, and yet recognizable to people that may want to hear it, you know. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm one of the worst guys about this because I so want to make it original, whether it's my song or not, you know, because the original one is out there. You know, you can hear it.
Yeah.
You put your quarter in the jukebox and you can hear it, you know. But if I'm going to do it for you, I hope I do it a little different, a little better, a little more, you know, a lot in a live situation too. So, you know, that's why even with this show coming up, it's like the versions of the songs that we're doing from the albums, you know, there's the studio version and then there's the live version because you can't really ever duplicate that studio thing.
Oh, live, yeah, there's no way. Yeah. I mean, the elements are way different. The environment is way different. The equipment you're using in many cases is way, way different. And would you agree that, you know, a lot of times with this process, it's so experimental that sometimes you stumble on something that you love sometimes you do it by accident, don't you?
Always. I work with a great piano player who's playing the show with me. His name is Mike Criscione. And we've been playing together about 15 years now. And we've never rehearsed. He came into this is how we got together. I'll tell you that real quick. I had a piano player, and then we had a whole summer booked, and this guy one day called me and said, "I can't do it anymore." I said, "What can't you do?" He goes, "I can't play out anymore." And I said, "Well, we have the whole summer booked." And he goes, "I can't do it." So I called another friend. And he said, "Well, I know this guy. I just got off the road with Sonny Gerasi." And I said, "Oh." And he said, "He's a great player. He can play anything, just, you know." And so first time I got together with him, it was a gig. It was a Friday night gig. And I go, "Do you want a list or something?" And he said, no. He goes, "Just..." And this is how I cut my teeth in New York, too, is like they just gave you a set list with the keys on it.
They just said, "Roll with it."
Yeah, yeah. And so I turned to him and I said, "Here comes the sun in A." And he goes, "Okay." Played it like we had always played it together.
Wow.
And I mean, that's how good Mike is. I mean, Mike is that kind of, he has his, what as musicians we call it, he had his ears on. And even original tunes, I'd go to him, I say, "Well, this one's in E, and it kind of got this feel." He goes, "Do a verse and a chorus, I'll pick it up." Sure enough, by the end of the song, played it like as if we've been playing together for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how good he is. And the other two people that are playing at the show, there's a young lady, her name is Grace McDougal. She just graduated from Denison University with her performance in violin. She's 22 years old. She does the same thing. I'll look at her and go, "Well, this is in A," and it goes like this. She goes, "Just play it." and I do. And there she is playing something to it, and it works. You know, the guy that produced the record, his name is Jim Johnson. He lives out here in Grafton. He plays bass, sings backup, and guitar. And we had a rehearsal the other night for the first time for this show, and it was just like, we all looked at each other and we said, we should be a band. I mean, that's how good it just fell together. I mean, so yeah. So if you got the right musicians, and you know, you just take what you've got, put your stamp on it, and go with it. You know, so
yeah. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Again, Jeff Farga joining us here in studio. He's performing at Lorain County Community College's Stocker Art Center October 12th and 13th. Now, you've got some new CDs coming out, and I would imagine that's a lot of what you'll be playing at the show. You've got one titled One More Hour, and the other one is called Leftovers from Tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm always intrigued by the titles of these albums. Where do these ones come from?
I had about a dozen songs ready to go, and I had another bunch over in the back. Just I was working on them, and so every night my wife and I both go, I don't know, what do you want for dinner? You know, it's the same old question. You know?
Oh yeah, and that conversation goes on.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. And you go like, I don't know. And one night she goes, well, we'll just have leftovers from tomorrow. And I thought, what would that be? Since it's so I said, that's the title of the album. Let's do that. And then I wrote one of the songs I wrote was One More Hour, and I started playing it out at clubs, and I played it out one night, and I got this monstrous applause for it, and people kept going, who did that? And I don't want to be a smart aleck or anything, but I said, I did. And I don't mean it just like I just did it now. So they said, no, whose song is that? And I say, oh, I'm sorry, it's mine. I wrote it. And they went, no. I said, yeah, no, I wrote it. So then I played it at another gig, and I got the same kind of response. And all of a sudden I was like, you know what? We should start recording. You know, Jim Johnson, the producer, he started a studio in his house, and it just, I mean, he's an engineer, I mean, like crazy. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go in and really produce. We'll really produce the heck out of this. Put drums, you know, because I'm a very organic guy. I like just guitar and mandolin, maybe some fiddle, you know. So I said, you know what? We're going to call it One More Hour, because that's much more, you know, this album deserves a nice title, said, you know. So we did that, and we got this record done. And it took us a long time because Jim was just getting into the whole producing thing and all that. And then I had all these other songs. So I was at home, and I saw this. I don't know if you're familiar. There's a group called the Milk Carton Kids. Okay? These guys are like the modern-day Simon and Garfunkel. I saw them do an Austin City Limits show with this one microphone sitting in front of them. And they play guitars. They both play guitar and sing. And I looked up what this microphone was. And there's a company out in Oregon called Ear Trumpet Labs. And I saw this microphone. Its name is Edwina. Okay. It looks like an old 1920s condenser microphone from when they would just... You went in and you recorded, and the needle dropped on the lacquer, and it just, you know, made the sound. So I said, you know what? I'm going to record these other songs, these leftovers, and with that very organic feel. And I did that, and then I said, and then I had enough to do another release. And I said, well, then that's the one we'll call Leftovers from Tomorrow. And that's how that all transpired.
So, okay. Yeah. Very nice. Well, you brought your guitar with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who are listening right now, they're wondering if they go to the show on October 12th and 13th, what are they going to hear?
Yeah.
So,
me too.
You've got your guitar with you.
All right.
So, we'll open this up for you and let you play a little sample of what's coming up at this show at Lorain County Community College's Stocker Art Center, October 12th through the 13th. What do you have for us?
You know what? I'm going to do a song, too. Another one that people seem to like a lot is a little tune I wrote called A Little More Wine.
Ooh, okay. I think a lot of people can get down with that title,
yeah, right?
For sure. Yeah.
It came about because I was reading a book about my favorite songwriter, who recently passed away. His name is Guy Clark. And Heat and a bunch of guys from Austin, all these singer-songwriters like Townes Van Zandt, Guy Clark, what's his name from that married? Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter. Bunch of the songwriters were all, they hung out in Austin, and they would get like a jug of wine, and they would just sit there and they would write songs together, and they would critique each other's ideas and stuff, and say, "What do we? Oh, that line's good, but you want to do this with it? You know, let's try that." And they would play with and make the song better. And so I was thinking about that, and then I came up with this song with, you know, a little more wine. You want the whole thing?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I walked down the street on the avenue, and I was thinking about nothing but you. It was cold and rainy, I didn't understand why you weren't here, just holding my hand. And I was thinking, just thinking about you. Uh-huh. Well, come on, baby, let me love you. Ooh-hoo. Let me love you, baby. Now the day goes by, I don't think of you. Come on, lover, let's see it through. You don't know the reason, I don't know the cause. I just know you forgive my flaws. Oh, honey, doing the best that I can. Oh, please reach out now, give me your hand. Give me your hand, baby. Well, there ain't nothing I can say. Tomorrow's gonna be just another day. But you know, honey, I'd give you my love, I'd give you everything to take hold of. Oh, come on, honey, love me just a little more time. Oh, you and me, honey, and a little more wine. I said, come on, honey, love me just a little more time. Oh, you and me, baby, and a little more wine. I said, you and me, honey, and a little more wine. Yeah, a little more wine. One more time, boys. A little more wine. Okay, now one more time.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Good
stuff. Jeff Fargo, a little more wine. I love that, man. Good stuff. Nice and catchy. You could hear that and much more. Go on down to the Stocker Arts Center, Lorain County Community College, October 12th through the 13th. You'll hear a little more of this. As a matter of fact, you'll hear one more hour. Some leftovers from tomorrow.
Yeah.
I love those titles, man. Great stuff. Jeff, thank you so much for coming to studio,
thanks,
man. This is a blast.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Really, thank you. Hope to see you at the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. October 12th, 13th at Lorain County Community College's Stocker Arts Center. Jeff Varga, he'll be there. You should be there as well. We need to take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back after this here on AM 930 WEOL.